Acts 2, 41 through 47. I did want to add something to what I said Sunday. I told you Sunday that Justin and I decided to get as far away from good college football as we could, so we went to Blacksburg Saturday to watch Virginia Tech, but we could have made a weekend of it and went up to Syracuse on Friday. And all God's people said, "You're right." Verse 41. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized," or they identified with Christ, the one they had rejected. "And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." I would have liked to have been there to see the Spirit of God work in the hearts of 3,000 souls. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily as such as should be saved." And that's God's word for us, and all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray that it would go forth tonight with power from the Spirit of God. And we would, by the Spirit, have our attention fixed and focused on what you have to say to us tonight. And that you would help us to understand it and apply it and make us willing to do it. And may you instruct us tonight from your word. Correct us where we need correcting. And may it all bring glory to your name, which is why we're here. We ask and we pray in Jesus' name and for Christ's sake. Amen. If you will remember, last Wednesday, we concentrated on the contrast between the methods and message of the modern day church with the methods and message of the early church, or more specifically, with Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. I'm afraid that the modern church sees the Great Commission as nothing more than a marketing plan. They repackage the gospel, they twist the gospel, they distort the gospel, they change the gospel in an effort to make it more appealable and to draw in a consumer-based crowd of lost people that they then think they can evangelize. So, in reality, they are pandering to flesh, to get them into the church, to tell them, the ones they had pandered to the flesh, that they need to crucify their flesh for salvation. But what happens is the flesh continues to be pandered because once you get them in by pandering the flesh, the only way that you can keep them in is by pandering the flesh. Right? And the early church, in contrast, simply preached the Word of God. They just stood in front of the people, preached the Word, and had confidence that in the preaching of the Word, God would save souls. Therefore, everything we do as a church should be about teaching the Word of God. From men's breakfast to ladies' Bible studies to meetings of our young people to ladies' retreat, everything should be about teaching the Word. We have to be careful because it is very easy to pander to the flesh. But that's not what the church is to do. The church is not called to entertain. It is called to share the gospel. So we don't pander to the flesh to draw people, as you can see. We teach the Word so that we may engage people spiritually, not entertain people. So I don't have any funny stories or heart-wrenching stories in my sermons. I just share with you the Word. We don't dumb down the Word so that kids can understand. We don't dumb it down so you don't have to think. I want you to think. I want you to work through these things in the Word. And the problem in the modern day church is Christ and the Word have been pushed out of most churches so that lost people can come in and not be offended. And as we look at the early church here, either they got it wrong, either this method and message here in the book of Acts, either they got it wrong and we got it right in modern day church, or modern day church has got it right and they got it. Or modern day church got it wrong and early church got it right. And I'm gonna say the early church got it right. So let's look at what characterizes these early Christians and the early church. Let's look at the addition to the early church. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, I just want to mention this, and then we're going to move on from it, but I do want to mention it. Entrance into the church of God is gained by receiving the Word and identifying with Christ. If people don't receive the Word and identify with Christ, they cannot enter into the church. Say amen. They have to repent of their sins, agree with the Word concerning what it says about God and themselves, and leave all and follow Christ. So the church is not open to anybody and everybody. Say amen. It is only open for believers, and the church must do, and I'm not talking about the physical doors of the church, I'm talking about the membership of the church. The physical doors are open to anyone. Membership is not. It's open to believers. And we must, as the church, do everything necessary to make sure that a believing membership is ensured and protected. So the church is a gathering of like-minded spiritual people who desire the Word of God proclaimed and Christ exalted. Therefore, when the church meets, when we meet, it's not about attracting lost people. It's about the people of God worshiping God and fellowshipping with one another. Say amen. When lost people come to church, and I hope they do, physically, they should be uncomfortable. Say amen. Lost people should feel uncomfortable because it's not about them. And we don't make it about them. Say amen. And they should be offended before they leave. If the gospel is truly preached, they should be offended, not by us, not by me, but by the Word of God, because the Word of God says things about them and God that they simply do not believe. So there is the addition to the early church. Number two, the activities of the early church, verse 42. They were added to the church as they believed the Word of God and identified with Christ through baptism, and they also continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. I'll put those two together. So this is a summary statement by Luke that he is going to flesh out in more detail as we go through the passage. But this is the structure of the early church. This is what was of primary importance to continue in the apostles' doctrine, to fellowship with one another, and to break bread and be in prayer, which is, of course, worship. The rest of the passage is just fleshing this out. So let's see what Luke has to say. The first thing that Luke says here is that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, which means that they were a learning church. They were a learning church. Did you know, contrary to public opinion, doctrine is important? Theology matters. They devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine or the apostles' teaching. And it's so important here that it is mentioned first in this summary statement so that it doesn't get lost in the weeds. The apostles were the standard of truth and godliness. And in the canonization of Scripture in the New Testament, the writings of the apostles were seen as true and were included in the Bible. Say amen. In churches today, you will hear things like, doctrine is not important. We're told that doctrine divides. And in order to have unity, we have to get rid of doctrine. We are told that we are not to become too theological because people have different theological opinions and it would become divisive. So we have to sort of tiptoe like Tiny Tim, tiptoe through the Word of God, carefully avoiding offending anyone with doctrinal stances so we don't talk about sin and we don't talk about judgment, and we don't talk about forgiveness, and we remove whatever might separate us from unification. And I have told you before that doctrine certainly does divide. It divides the redeemed from the unredeemed, the saved from the lost. But doctrine, true doctrine, always unites believers because believers love the truth. The early believers continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching. That means they were devoted steadfastly to the teaching from the apostles. And day after day, right? Day after day, they read, they heard, they studied, they learned, and they absorbed the truth of the Word of God at the feet of the apostles. They did it daily. And the foundation of the church, the very foundation of the church, is upon the prophets, Old Testament, and the apostles, New Testament. So doctrine does matter, doesn't it? What we believe does matter. The idea that it doesn't matter what we believe or what we're taught doesn't matter as long as the people that are doing it are sincere is just plain silly. In the church today, we're more about loves and hugs than we are doctrine and the Word. And we're wrong to think that. Sound doctrine is what the church was built on, and what the church must continue in. And I would argue it's what true believers desire. The word faithfully and rightfully proclaimed is what believers desire. And if you have a church that doesn't proclaim faithfully and rightly the word of God, it's not a church. It's a club. Say amen. It's just called a church. And nowadays they quit calling it church, didn't they? Don't they? It's just some cool little name. The bridge. The ark. The boat. Whatever. Look at verse 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Do you know how these early Christians knew that the apostles taught the truth? Because their ministry was accompanied with wonders and signs. The apostles did what only men from God could do. Therefore, from God, their words were regarded as true. God authenticated the apostles as the mouthpiece of God through the working of many wonders and signs that he enabled these men to perform, or better yet, that he performed through these men. And the reason that you know what the apostles said was true is because they did the same miracles that Jesus did. They were seen as being from God because of the miracles they performed. It was the apostles alone, and at times those closely connected to the apostles, who were uniquely given this ability to do signs and wonders. Let me help you. Benny Hinn is not an apostle. Therefore, he cannot do signs and wonders from God. Say amen. So there's no doubt here that what the apostles taught was true because they spoke for God because of the wonders and signs that accompanied their ministry. So it's important that you know that you're hearing truth. Say amen. Look at verse 44. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And verse 45, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. So they were a learning church. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They continued. They were devoted to the teaching of the apostles. Now, I'm not an apostle. Don't be devoted to me. The apostles are recorded in Scripture. Be devoted to it. We learn from the Word, say amen. Not from my opinion, but from the Word of God, say amen. They were a learning church, but here we see they were also a loving church. This idea of fellowship and all that believed were together and had all things common. Sold their possessions and goods, parted them to all men as they had need. Fellowship describes what we share in. So church is a place where we come to learn about God and about ourselves. It is a place where we come to share with one another. And we all, if we are saved, we all share in the same divine nature. Say amen. We all have the same Holy Spirit. Now let me stop here and say something about that. If you have the same Holy Spirit I have, then that same Holy Spirit is going to do for you what he does for me. If he convicts me of sin, he's going to convict you of sin. If he won't let me get away with sin, he's not going to let you get away with sin. The same Holy Spirit indwells all believers. We are partakers of the same divine nature. And the reason that we have fellowship one with another is because each of us has fellowship with God through Christ. Say amen. If there's someone who doesn't have fellowship with God through Christ, is not saved, it's impossible to have Christian fellowship with that person. Say amen. True Christian fellowship is the meeting of the Spirit of God that indwells every single believer. Our spirit gives credence to their spirit. And what we share in is fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So fellowship describes what we share in with one another. It also describes what we share out with one another. Look what it says. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. As the family of God, we are to take care of one another. As every man had need. We as the church, we as God's people are to share out of what God gives us. Say amen. I am a proponent that God gives us more than we need so that we can share and help those who haven't been given what they need. Say amen. They were together, which means they were set off from everything else. They were interested in the same thing. They shared collectively. They had all things in common. So that when someone in the church had a need, God would raise someone up who had something, and they would sell that something so that they could help meet the need. And we all have too much. I mean, when you get to the point that you have to rent places to keep your stuff, we got too much stuff. Say amen. We could sell some stuff and help some folks, couldn't we, in the church? But this doesn't mean sell everything you have and live in a commune or something like that. Is as God gives you extra and there's someone in the church that needs something, we help them. We help them. If you have the ability to help, if you have the ability to meet a need, they were glad to do it, right? They were a learning church. They were a loving church. I think those are two key ingredients of a church. A people that desire to learn and a people who love one another and care for one another and meet each other's needs. Notice verse 46. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. What were they doing? They were praising God. That's worship, isn't it? So I would say they were a learning church, a living, loving church, and a living church. They live for the worship of God. Let me show you that. Notice each day, not weekly, each day they were in two places. Do you see it? Every single day they were in two places. What two places were they in? Number one is what? Where? The temple. And then what was the other place they were? House to house. And they were in the temple and house to house. How often? Daily. Why would believers in Christ still go to the temple if they knew that in Christ they had the fulfillment of everything the temple symbolized? And I think, in thinking about it, is that you have to remember Acts is a transitional book. So they're transitioning. Jews who have been in Judaism their entire life are now being transitioned into the church of Christ. And for them to go to the temple to worship would be a very natural thing for them to do. It would be a very natural place to do that. So as they go to the temple, they're not worshiping the temple. They're worshiping Christ, who is the fulfillment of all God's promises and all the words of His prophets. Now notice this. They would go to the temple to praise God. They would go to the temple to worship God. Then they would break bread together from house to house, eat their meat, eat their meals with gladness and singleness of heart. But there's something else here. They would eat together, and they would celebrate the death of Christ together at the communion table. They would eat their meals together. They would celebrate the Lord's table together. And they did this daily. Daily they did this. They went to the temple together daily. They went house to house together daily. Do you get the idea that these believers were together a lot of the time? But you know what? We're too busy for that. I'm sure this crowd here weren't nearly as busy as we are in our society today. I mean, all they had to do was get up at dawn and make sure that the cows were milked and the chickens were fed and the cows were fed. They had to do all their chores because they lived off the land as survival, say amen. They had to repair their own barns, repair their own houses. They didn't have people to come do that. So I'm sure they had plenty of time. No, they didn't have any more time than we got. They just made time. They made time to be with one another. Do you know we have 168 hours in 1 week? Is that right? 168 hours a week? And some people think they're spiritual and sacrificial when they give God one of those hours. One out of 168. And they think they've really done something for the Lord. It is very hard to get professing believers to come to three services a week. Hard. Out of 168 hours a week, some won't give 3 hours. Let's say 4 hours if we add Sunday school. 4 hours a week out of 168, that's 2%. 2% of your time given to the worship of God together with your brothers and sisters in Christ. What I'm saying is, these early believers gave their time to be together. Three things characterize the early church. They were a learning church, they were a loving church, and they were a living, or they were a worshiping church. Number three. Notice the attractiveness of the early church. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Do you see the repetition of this word daily? They met how often? Daily. They took time out to meet daily, to worship God daily, to magnify God daily. And the Lord added to the church how often? Daily. Because the church was meeting daily, because their life, their soul was the church, because everything revolved around their coming together and meeting together and worshiping God together, because there was no other place they would rather be than with one another, God uses their life as a testimony and a witness to others daily. I mean, this was such a powerful witness that people were being saved daily. Say amen. Because their life, their souls, everything about them was about worshiping God with their brothers and sisters in Christ. And God added to their number daily. Right? And let me say this. It is the Lord who adds to the church. Right? It's not my responsibility to pull, prod, yank, and beg people to come to church or join the church or be saved. That's the Lord's work. Say amen. Not my work, not your work. It is His church. He adds to the church as He wills. The means by which God adds to the church was here the lifestyle of these believers. It was to these people right here, those who came to hear the teaching of God's word daily, those who were devoted to hearing the word of God taught, those who were meeting together daily, who sacrificed to meet the needs of one another daily, those who worship God daily, it was to those that God adds to the church. They devoted themselves to be a learning, loving, living church. And God was pleased to use that day by day witness to bring people day by day into the kingdom of God. It's not about a Sunday morning deal. God adds to the church. He is sovereignly adding to the church, but He is somehow pleased to use the faithful, prioritized lives of His people as a means to adding to His church. If you were looking for a place to put your child for daycare, and you walked into a place and people weren't very faithful, place wasn't very clean, sometimes they were open, sometimes they weren't, would you feel confident about putting your child in there? Why would God put one of His new children in a place that's not going to take care of them and show them the faithfulness and the love of God? I read one commentator that said that there were four relationships that Luke gives here. Firstly, they were related to the Word in obedience and submission, in learning and centering everything around the Word of God. Secondly, they were related to each other in love. Thirdly, they were related to God in worship. Finally, they were related to the world in evangelism. Related to the Word in obedience, to each other in love, to God in worship, and to the world in evangelism. That's a pretty good church. That's a biblical church. And we, as churches in America today are far, far from that. And you know what the sad thing is that when we hear something like this, we'll make excuses instead of corrections. Yes? We'll make excuses instead of corrections. There are always people watching you. And many of them will determine the value of the Word of God to you, the value of your fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ, the value of your worship by your faithfulness to His church. Amen?